This episode of Industry Relations is sponsored by CloudMLX. CloudMLX is the fast and easy way to search your MLS. Surveys show that many real estate agents want a better user interface to their MLS system, and that's where CloudMLX comes in. CloudMLX features a fast and innovative search bar that gets smarter as you use it. You can also easily share MLS listings with other agents and clients. CloudMLX works great on any mobile device and is deeply integrated with other WNR Studios products like Cloud CMA and Cloud Streams. To find out why MN News gave CloudMLX the Most Innovative Technology Award, please visit cloudmlx.com. And now let's get on with the show.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to yet another episode of Industry Relations with Rob Hahn and Greg Robertson. I believe this is episode 7. Can't believe we've done 7 of these. Greg, are you there?
I'm here, and it's going to be really interesting because of our special guest, of how we go back and forth here, right?
I know.
So why don't you introduce him?
Absolutely. And we have a special guest with us today. His name is Greg Fisher. Some of you know him. Some of you may not. He is the principal broker at Fred Real Estate Group in Bend, Oregon. Greg, are you there?
Hey, I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us. Yeah, so it's going to be an issue. They got two Gregs. You know, maybe I'll have to just go like, you know, Fisher or, you know, Robertson or Greco Fish. You know, I'm not sure how I'm going to handle that. But this is an interesting story that I think we're going to discuss. But in that context, Greg, and I mean Fish, I know you have a background because obviously we've known each other for years now, but maybe for the audience, you could explain sort of what you did before, you know, it started doing brokerage in Bend that gives you a little bit of insight into what we're going to discuss.
Sure. Working backwards from being a broker in Bend, I was at Move, the operator of Realtor.com for quite a while, working on data feeds, but I got there via the acquisition of a startup called Doorsteps, where I worked for a few years. It was a first-time home buyer education tool. And prior to that, I was a real estate broker too. So I've kind of been spending time in brokerage and in tech. And during that time at Move, I was in New York. So really close to this issue.
That's right. And that's kind of what we want to talk about. You know, there's a little bit of a brouhaha that kind of busted out. And I'm thinking, maybe we could have you kind of set the table for us, Fish, since you wrote about this on your blog.
Sure. So StreetEasy is the dominant real estate search portal in greater New York City area. Zillow acquired them in 2013 for about $50 million. And since then, StreetEasy has been slowly releasing Zillow-like products into the New York market. And New York is very, very interesting because there isn't really a New York Manhattan-based MLS. And so that sort of provides all of these data-related issues about how would a site like StreetEasy or Zillow or Move, for instance, get data feeds from brokers in New York City. And because StreetEasy already had a lot of these data feeds for the listings of prominent brokers in New York, that made it, in my opinion, probably an easy acquisition for Zillow to make. And now this week, they released Premier Agent, which brokers and real estate people across the country are super familiar with. I mean, this basically means if I have a listing in New York, 123 Main Street, on StreetEasy, the lead form on that listing is now going to be sent to a different broker than me as the listing agent. And Zillow and StreetEasy are going to be charging agents for that placement. And so this is a very familiar product playbook that we saw in the rest of the United States years ago. I mean, I feel like I've gone in a time machine reading about this.
Yeah, oh my God, New York like has to put up with what everybody else in the country has put up with, right?
Yeah. And the issues are familiar. I mean, a lot of things come up for me. I mean, on the real estate side, people are very focused on what's right or what's appropriate. And at the same time, I completely understand the digital advertising space, right? I mean, the market is the market. And if people are willing to pay fees to get leads from listings that are greater in revenue opportunity than people paying to be featured on their own listings, then I understand why that product exists in the marketplace. So I really understand both sides. And this is a tough issue. I don't think it's going to get resolved tomorrow.
So, G-Rob, I mean, as we kind of mentioned during pre-production, you know, we're definitely going to get into this, but I should probably disclose that I do have a business relationship with Zillow. Not that they know that I'm even doing this. So, you know, make of it what you will. So, I guess diving into this, Greg, I mean, you've written, and I mean Fish now, Fish, you've written about this sort of timeline. So, they launched Premier Agent, which to your point is, you know, it's like, oh, really? It's, you know, the 20th century has come to New York City. But since then, some further things have happened, right? I mean, a couple of steps have developed. And what happened since they launched this thing?
Yeah. So naturally, brokers instantly reacted, mostly in a negative way. It doesn't seem like there's been a lot of excitement out of that community. And so an interesting response came out from Zillow, from Susan Daimler, the GM of StreetEasy, making these comments sort of that they believe it's important for home shoppers to have a choice to connect with someone who represents them and only them. So I did find this to be a new piece of the story, this narrative coming from the Zillow side that they believe buyer brokerage is the best representation. I think that's interesting, obviously with the caveat. For me, deployed inside of a brokerage, I mean, we absolutely want to field inquiries on our listings as much as possible. And I design systems so that we can do that as much as possible. I really have a wonder if leads generated from Zillow or StreetEasy result in dual agency. You know, most leads, in my opinion, are simply asking questions. And more often than not, they just mistakenly shared their contact info. So this narrative to me is the new interesting one.
How is it new though? I mean, isn't this like a Zillow's kind of pro-consumer vibe again, right? I mean, she's basically saying what, you know, Zillow's been saying for years. And the flavor here is that, you know, Zillow's saying that buyers should be represented, you know, separately, right?
Yeah, I guess that's, you know, semi-consistent, maybe not said as explicitly here. The interesting thing about the StreetEasy app, the way that it loads now, it literally has a pop-up on a listing where you would normally see the listing agent that says, hey, wouldn't you rather connect with someone who represents your interest? I have to look at the exact text that it says, but it's basically like a pop-up that prevents the lead from being submitted. So I think it's just much more explicit in the language and in the product.
I mean, guys, in a way, this is sort of like Greg Fish said, you know, this is kind of funny because, you know, the whole syndication thing, I feel like we've been beating on it for, what, 10 years? And New York City is finally getting this? Like, I mean, shouldn't this be like an easy slam dunk? Like, look, guys, like, here's what's going to happen, you know, in the next, you know, whatever, few months, few years. Like, learn from what the rest of the industry has been going through.
Yeah, I'm amazed that, you know, I would assume that the Real Estate Board of New York and some of the more prominent brokers are consulting or counseling with people and other brokerages who've done this. You know, some brokers in New York own brokerage operations outside of New York. You know, for instance, Corcoran is a major player, right, and is tied into other brokerages outside of New York. Compass has opened brokerages outside of New York. So you would imagine that they've been able to consult with this. I think the very small nuance, you know, Manhattan's an island, right? And so the way real estate has been done on that island is slightly different than the rest of the country. And this idea of exclusive listings is probably a little bit different than the rest of the country thinks about it when they gain a listing. And so I think the way that New York has treated exclusives is really adding fuel to this fire.
I think a little bit of this might be a shot in the arm for our, you know, RBNY to start. You know, they've already got some momentum. I just recently posted on the job board on Vendor Alley. They're looking for a director of MLS and a director of data compliance. So these guys are on their way. It's been a long time coming, but really forming the first real MLS in New York. And I can only think that this can be a big shot in the arm for this, that in the past, brokers have not been able to get together to form an MLS there. But I think this might be, you know, the last straw here to kind of maybe get some sort of formal MLS in that marketplace. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
I mean, I think it would be interesting to see what happens, but there's one thing that Fish wrote about. So I, you know, went over and checked it out. You know, it's a story on The Real Deal, just kind of a New York focused real estate news website slash blog. You know, Greg, you talked about this, like the real estate board in New York sent a letter to the regulators, to New York Department of State, requesting an investigation. I mean, do you know anything more about that?
No. And I'm glad you brought that up because it's like a footnote in one of the eight articles that have come out here. It's literally like the second to last paragraph. And I have no idea what's happening there. I guess, you know, we'll have to keep watching. But I think that that's, you know, I mean, sending an inquiry to the Department of State and literally saying they want an investigation to find out if this ad product violates state laws governing advertising, because they're claiming it's illegal for someone to advertise another broker's exclusive listing.
See, the thing is, I mean, and that's, so let's assume this letter was sent. The thing that kind of freaks me out about it is, as a general rule, I don't know that it's a healthy idea to invest in sort of invite government eyes on your business just because it's unpredictable what's going to happen. But Greg, I mean, here's the thing. The MLS as we know it and any place outside of New York City, it's an organic outgrowth of just brokers wanting to get together and do business, right? I mean, it's, you know, it's 100 years old. In this case, if the idea is that Rebney will now form an MLS, it really does feel a whole lot like a response or a reaction to what Zillow and StreetEasy are doing, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure which Greg you're talking to.
Oh, either both Gregs. I knew we were going to run into this. You, G Rob. I mean, doesn't this feel like it's just a response reaction?
So. These guys, I mean, I think, and also in the video that they posted, they've been talking about Rebney like trying to get something going for a long time. So there's complete precedent of this. Being this board being formed, trying to get its legs underneath it, trying. So I don't think it just didn't start yesterday because of this, right?
Sure.
So this has been happening a whole hell of a long time, but I don't see any danger there. I don't know. What do you think, Fish?
Yeah. So my comments are like, because New York is an island and they've been practicing real estate slightly different than the rest of us, to me, my questions regarding the MLS are all of the New York brokers offering co-op compensation to other brokers on all of their listings? I think we know the answer to that is no, right? So the creation of an MLS would be designed to change sort of the compensation model that's existed. In New York, the top 10 listing brokers control most of those listings and transactions that happen there. So I'd be wondering, if I were the CEO of one of those companies, if that was even in my best interest or not. And then kind of the second bullet point there is really like, are they sort of saying they want a public-facing MLS and like another consumer-facing website? That was a little unclear to me on the story. And there's all kinds of, you know, things to discuss about that too. But really, are brokers in New York really wanting to add a different compensation model to the way they've done business? I think that's the question.
I guess I'm making a slightly different point, right? Which is, you know, there's an ancient Chinese curse that, you know, most of us heard of that says, may you live in interesting times. Thing is, there's a second half of that curse, which goes, and may you attract the attention of the powerful.
Yeah.
It seems like what Rebney's doing here in response to this, you know, sort of premier agent thing is attracting the attention of the powerful. And look, I mean, I used to live in New York, so I have a healthy skepticism and level of cynicism about how policy and government works in that city and in that state. I mean, if this comes down to a battle of campaign contributions to various powers that be in New York, you know, I guess what I'm saying is the brokers may not get what they think they might get with this sort of complaint. Because look, I mean, if I'm a state regulator, if I'm a legislator, I could easily look at this and say, okay, so you guys have had, whatever, 20 years while you're working on this MLS. You can't get it together because the brokers are resisting it. And now all of a sudden, because Zillow appears in the scene, you're like, yeah, we're going to band together and do an MLS. Great, you can do that. But if you then, the MLS or this collective organization says, yeah, you know what? We're not going to send a data feed to Zillow or to Realtor or StreetEasy or somebody other than Rebney. I mean, the speed at which they're going to get hit with an antitrust lawsuit is just, you know, mind-boggling. It's just the timing on this just seems really just wacky. And all you're doing is attracting the attention of regulators and politicians, which isn't, I don't know, I'm just like allergic to it. You know, like the better thing to do is like, don't notice us as much as possible. right?
I was about to kind of agree with you, Rob, on your, you normally go down this path of that, but I thought you were going to go down the path of like, if regulars come in and they see that, you know what, this market has been broken so long because only a few brokers have controlled what's going on in the real estate market, and the way that Zillow is doing it, where it allows, it kind of opens it up and gives consumers more protection by almost like, you know, helping out them find buyer agents, maybe it goes the other way. Maybe the regulators look at it like they're going to go pro-consumer and not pro-broker.
Right, maybe. No, and that's my point. So it's like, how much is Corcoran and, you know, Douglas Elliman and, you know, all these like big, big brokers that have dominated New York City real estate for so many years, how much are they going to like having some representative from the Department of State sitting in their office looking over their shoulders telling them you can or cannot do this, right? So it's, you know, maybe at the end of the day, this does end up being a pro-consumer thing if the government gets involved. But you know my feeling on government and involvement generally. You know, I think everyone understands I'm a libertarian, you know, fierce capitalist at heart. It's just one of those things. I just feel like I would almost love to talk to some of the brokers in New York or their legal counsel and just like, why are you guys doing this? This does... just to me, it's just feeling a bad move. But look, let's move on to kind of the real estate, you know, actual real estate topics. And I have a question for you, Fish, because you worked in New York City on the data side of things. From what I remember, New York, Manhattan, even though they don't have an MLS, they do have something kind of like an IDX UOW product, don't they?
So it's interesting that you which terms we use, right? So basically, you know, the way it worked a few years ago is a few certain data providers had authorization via REBNY, which isn't an MLS. It operates more like an association,
right.
Were approved vendors to handle a brokerage's own listings. So like a, you know, the database of their own listings. And then those products can also transmit those listings to other brokerages and whatnot. And it slowly evolved into whether or not if I transfer that information to your brokerage, can you then run an ad on your website on my exclusive listing, right? And right. So there's this thing where listings would be claimed as exclusive listings or not. And if listings weren't exclusive, anybody was free to make an ad, right? So it's like the earlier stages of what an IDX agreement would look like.
I mean, the reason I bring this up is because if REBNY is saying that, you know, advertising another broker's exclusive listing is against the law, it's like, well, you've been doing it for 10, 20 years through these other programs, no? Or are they totally different? I mean, I don't know the details to that because I haven't studied it.
Well, if it would be on the broker's own site, then the leads would go straight to the broker or...
But that's what I'm saying, right? Because what I understand about New York City is there are certain provisions, certain ways in which they have something kind of like an IDX or a VOW feed. Mm-hmm. So I'm a broker, but I can advertise, you know, some other broker's listing on my website, right, to make it easier for consumers to find homes, find proper places to live. All presumably, just like IDX, just like VOW, all those leads would come to me because it's off my website, right?
Well, those two things are different, right? Like IDX would go to the competing broker. The leads would go to the competing broker. A VOW, they'd remain inside of...
No, not at all. In other words, if I have a VOW, right, the only difference between a VOW and IDX is that somebody has to register on my website.
Yep.
Right. So if I'm, you know, Rob Hahn Broker and I put a Corcoran listing, right, on my website through a VOW, that's my lead. That's my customer, right?
Yep.
So it's the exact same logic as what would happen with Premier Agent. The only difference is, you know, somebody else can't bid on, you know, getting the lead off of my website.
Right. And that's kind of like this interesting point that the main discussion that I feel like we all had years ago, right, was like, right, if you are currently opting in to an IDX or VOW feed, why wouldn't you be opting in to display your listings on another site? Because essentially, at the end of the day, that ad is going to send the lead to someone who isn't you. Either way.
Right.
And G Rob, you remember like the whole fight that I had with a bunch of people in the industry like 5-6 years ago when I was like, IDX and syndication are the same thing. You know, the logic of syndication is the logic of IDX. And there's all kinds of, you know, people try to argue. It's like, no, it's not true because at least with IDX, another realtor makes money. And I'm like, well, I don't see how that's any different. But you know, I feel like it's the exact same thing.
It's funny because the humor part of this is that there's that guy, Ryan Serhant, who's on the Million Dollar Listing. And he's been recording videos. One of them's, you know, saying, hey, oh my God, they're sending leads to somebody else besides me, which is like funny to watch when you live in somewhere else inside the country and then other places in the country. And then the other thing is he shows him calling one of the primary agents on his own listing. And he's like shocked that they're like, you know, picking up the phone and like talking about his listing. It's just, it's comical, man. It's just comical.
It's like going in a time machine for me, honestly. I just got to say, the way that these listings work and the promises that New York City brokers are making to their sellers are slightly different than what we're used to in the rest of the country. And this idea of an exclusive listing essentially means, no, you can't advertise my listing and collect the leads on it. That's what it meant to them a long time ago. Obviously, technology and advertising technology platforms have evolved. And so it's kind of this situation, I feel like they're applying old rules to the new reality, right? That's what I think is happening. I think it's really important to recognize this idea of exclusive listings in New York and what that actually means to those brokers.
Correct. Just because, you know, maybe you're more familiar, and I mean Fish now, just because you may be more familiar with this, and I don't have time to look it up real quick, but is dual agency allowed in New York City? Single agent dual agency. It is.
Yes.
And is that the expected? So if I'm a seller and I give Ryan Serhant an exclusive listing on my condo, my expectation is that he will represent both me and the buyer?
Look, you know how nuanced this conversation is. Like,
I
think that lots of brokers design experiences that can facilitate that. Think about the prices in New York too. I mean, you were in business, would you not be trying to service both sides of a $6 million transaction that comes across your desk every 3 days? I mean, it changes the stakes a little bit. So in my experience in New York is that, sure, that exists as much as people who aren't trying to do dual agency or people who flat out say, we aren't going to do dual agency and we'll refer you to a broker in our firm or the broker of another firm. I think all of those scenarios exist, but it's definitely a place where those listing brokers are going to be present, involved, and expect to get the main sort of lion's feed of leads, inquiries, and contacts from people.
But I guess what I'm asking, because look, New York State, actually, you know, is, I don't know if they don't allow it, they're real leery about it, but I'm looking at a legal memorandum, LI-12 from Department of State from New York, saying there's a huge danger to dual agency. I guess what I'm asking is your understanding that New York City, Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, you know, the greater metro area, the sellers there are aware of what exclusive agency means in terms of agency? That's what I guess what I'm asking. Because my feeling is they don't, right? My feeling is there's no way that a seller in Manhattan selling a $5 million condo is thinking, hey, when I grant an exclusive listing to my agent, this means that the agent's going to represent the buyer too. Like I can't imagine that's what the consumer expectation is on this.
Probably not, but I would back out to, does sending a lead from Zillow or StreetEasy activate and endorse dual agency in the first place? And that's, you know, when I think as a broker, that's kind of, you know, my issue here is like, we're going to make a promise to a seller that we're going to respond, we're going to collect those inquiries, we're going to service anybody who's interested in asking questions about this home. And I just can't make the case that leads fulfilled, especially third-party websites, are actually purchasing the first property that they inquire on. That's just not reality.
Right. You're right about that. Yeah. So what's going on? I mean, is the idea that if you're the listing agent, you own all the buyer leads that come off of the listing?
I think that New York brokers are used to that environment.
That's, and the rest of the country, I mean, that is the problem.
How it worked.
Sorry, and that is the problem with the rest of the country, right? With Zillow or Realtor or anybody else. It's this notion that if I'm the listing agent, then I own all of the leads that come off that listing, right?
Yeah, I think that's a common conception that one might have when they don't completely understand the advertising technology environment and how IDX, VOW, or third-party feeds even work, right? For me, that's my job. I have to do that. And so I think as people discover what those things actually mean, this is how these things, you know, kind of get brought up, is they might not have completely understood the mechanism that got their listing on the city's most popular real estate website.
So, but they've been operating right now where, you know, there's been only the listing broker on the property, right? So how did StreetEasy in the past make money? Did they advertise, you know, comforters and pillows? I mean, what did the site do to generate revenue before?
They did a few things. A lot of it was like your featured placement, you know, things that you're from old products that sort of are waning away a little bit. But featured placement, a couple of years ago, they released a building expert designation where if you had sold two, you know, and we're talking about a lot of times high rises and things in New York, which changes the conversation a little bit, but you could have a designation that you were a building expert if you closed two sales in a house. So they've been slowly, you know, poking around, it seems like. And that's the nature of all these products, right? The Zillow playbook for ad products is changes every quarter, right? And so in the past, you'd see more of this featured environment.
Yeah. So this is, I mean, if every, these guys, Zillow's got to be making, is going to make a ton of money here. Because I just can't see, and I think some of the, one of the videos I watched talked about this. I mean, I don't think boycotting, and I think you said this in your post too, Greg, boycotting Zillow is not gonna work, or StreetEasy in this case. Edina tried that and we know how that turned out, right? So it's going to be really interesting. And I think it's going to be a big revenue boost for Zillow. I checked the stock price to see, because it's in New York also. So these, all the brokers, you know, stockbrokers and everything else are in there. They're probably watching this play out. You know, I'd wondered if it moved the stock. It had moved the stock. It's going to be interesting to watch what happens there too.
I just got to say, what these brokers have to understand is they have to get super savvy on how ad tech works and make decisions around that, right? But out here in the rest of the country, we adjust. We might go all in on buying leads from third parties, but as ad products change and shift through the quarters, or our staffs and personnel changes, and we may or may not be buying different products and adding different features that other advertising technology platforms offer. At the end of the day, we have to make smart business decisions about how we advertise and about where those inquiries go. And to me, I don't get married to Zillow's my best friend or worst enemy. It doesn't matter. I've often found that I can find value working with them rather than against them. I think that's been the reality for a lot of people over the years. That's not to endorse them or say anything other than they generate over 80 million consumer views on their websites every month. Like, to me, we want our listings to be shown there. I play defense and try to make sure our agents' profiles are completely filled out and all of our listings look great, and try to siphon off as many leads as we can when we're not buying featured placements. That's what it means to run a sophisticated advertising strategy in 2017. And I was surprised that some of the brokers have already, the main brokers, I mean, CEO of Corcoran literally said, we will not support Premier Agent. And if it were me, I would love to pay the bills of all of my agents who are buying leads, because then I can calculate the effectiveness of those leads, how many people we contact and how many deals we close. I just can't believe that the initial reaction is to completely throw it all away. I would be looking at what the opportunity was. That's my hot take, personally.
Well, there is one thing, because I know we're running long, but we decided that this issue is important enough that we might go a little bit long today. There is one thing about this, though, that I really want to talk about, and it's this. If you look at the Real Daily video that's linked from your post, Greg Fish, they talk about what's one of the things that upsets the New York City brokers in this case. And, you know, G-Rob, I mean, all three of us know that it's one of the things that's upset listing agents and listing brokers outside of New York over the past few years around the whole portal issue, is the idea that an agent who doesn't know anything about a building or about a neighborhood is being advertised on Zillow, on StreetEasy as an expert, right? I mean, there is some comment about, you know, if you're, especially someplace like Manhattan, where if you're an agent, if you're a broker, and you do a lot of work in a particular building, like say Trump Tower, you really know that building and, you know, everything that sort of, you know, surrounds it. And the complaint was these programs are allowing nobodies, you know, who's never done a deal in that building or doesn't know that neighborhood to advertise on my listing as somebody who knows that building or knows that neighborhood. And that is an actual complaint we have heard, right, time and again. And I feel like maybe there is some validity to that. What do you guys think?
Who decides? And like, this has happened forever. I mean, just because you meet some guy at a party and he hands you his card that he's a realtor, I mean, that doesn't, you know, this is happening offline for years. This has been happening online for years. I mean, the ship has sailed here on this. This is the model, and, you know, a little bit of caveat emptor that the buyers have to, you know, be out there looking at. But I mean, all these agents that are experts now had to start somewhere too. They were novices. They had to hustle, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, and I think Fish, you were about to say, it's like, who decides you're an expert, right?
Who decides, right? Is that StreetEasy's decision? Is it consumer's decision or the brokerage? I mean, I don't know. It should stand. If you're a licensed real estate broker in a state, you can handle any inquiry on any property, right? I mean,
but
I don't know.
So let me ask you though.
I mean, Rob, we get in this thing all the time, dude. You're always about like, there's almost got to be a panel or something, right? And I, you know, to me, I always argue this kind of invisible hand. I mean, if the agent is going to do a good job, that agent isn't going to last that long. The market decides who's good and who's not good, right? I mean, it's board, it's not a panel, it's not a corporation.
Well, no, I mean, there is a simple, not an easy, but a simple solution, which let me pause on that because this is kind of the point that I think I'm trying to make. Like Fish, you're a broker in Bend, Oregon. I mean, would you hold yourself out to be an expert in every neighborhood in Bend, Oregon?
No, never.
So would you go take listings in an area that you don't really know?
Absolutely.
You would. Why?
Because I'd hold the license to be able to sell something, for one, and two, because we're professionals and we'll put together the right package to be able to market and sell a listing and perform services for a homeowner. That's our job.
It's negotiation. It's, okay, you know, it's there's a lot of things besides, you know, knowing that back alley is X, right? I mean, there's a lot of things to be an agent besides local knowledge.
But see, then, but this is exactly where the rub is, right? Because on the one hand, you'll have agents and brokers who say, like take Houston, for example. I mean, the license is statewide. So somebody who lives inside the 610 here in Houston could easily represent a seller in the Woodlands or in Katy, except that they don't know anything about Woodlands or the Katy. And there's a real, and here's what I'm getting at. It seems like the heartburn comes when someone who's a buyer agent representing a buyer is, you know, getting a lead off of Zillow or StreetEasy or wherever and bringing that buyer to this property in the Woodlands. Some reason it seems like there's not that much of a heartache, not that much of a, you know, a controversy if you take a listing in a neighborhood that you don't know. Like, does that make any sense?
Sure. The reason there's heartache is because those listing brokers who are worried about the buyer brokers from out of town bringing in the buyers didn't get the lead on their listing. And that's part of what they expect.
Right? And yeah. I guess the reason I bring this up is because in context of just, you know, looking into this story, the Ryan Serhant guy that you guys mentioned, right? He's like a millionaire real estate agent.
Yeah.
Right? The dude has like 150 listings or something. I mean, he's done 454 deals, right, as a listing agent in New York City. And having lived in Manhattan, one of the things that really struck me is he's getting properties all over the place, like Upper East Side, Sutton Place, Hell's Kitchen, you know, Chelsea. I mean, it's literally all East Side, you know. And having lived there, man, like that's crazy. Mm-hmm. Like nobody, like if you're a neighborhood expert in Soho, you know Soho. You might know Tribeca, but there's no way you know anything about the Upper East Side.
I think you can make that case, right? If you were going to put up those arguments one-to-one, then I see where you're driving this thread.
Right. So I'm saying it's if Ryan Serhant is super pissed off that these agents who don't know his buildings, who don't know their neighborhoods are bringing buyers or is answering the phone and trying to answer inquiries. I'm like, dude, unless you're Superman, unless you're a god, there's no way that you're a local expert on every freaking neighborhood in New York, in the island of Manhattan, you know, never mind the greater New York City metro area. So it just seems like kind of a little bit of talking out of both sides of the mouth.
A real estate agent talking out both sides of your mouth? What are you saying?
God. So going back to my simple look, if you really just wanted to make it about, you know, you really need to have neighborhood knowledge or building knowledge or whatever, the simple solution is get rid of buyer agency.
There's a million models,
that's
right?
That's the simple solution.
I didn't say easy. I said simple. You know, it's the Gordian knot. I mean, that's the simple answer. But obviously, nobody's willing to do that. And it's resulting in all this heartache and all this agita.
That is the nature of the free market, right? Like, essentially,
exactly.
There could be a model where our brokerage takes listings and we refer people to different buyer brokers, either in our company is one model or in another company is another model. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what's happening, right? And people are looking for a unified solution. I think when people get upset or trying to say what's right or wrong, they're looking for the optimal solution. And the reality is that this business and these transactions, the way that they happen and the way that they're orchestrated can happen hundreds of different ways.
I mean, players are going to play, haters are going to hate. I mean, real estate agents that I love, real estate agents that just hustle. They're finding a way to win. This is a commission-only sales job. They've got a toughest job in on the planet, it seems, right? So any way that they can hustle, they're going to hustle, and those hustlers are going to win. And the market's going to decide whether or not, you know, that person brings some value to that equation or not. Not the government, not anybody else, hopefully.
Hey, Rob. I was interested if you had any thoughts on what the CEO of Compass had to say. I thought that was an interesting piece of this story too, honestly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where he talks about how, you know, the industry moves slowly. Zillow's got so much money. They have so much talent. We can't beat them. I mean, he just sort of came out and said that. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. I just didn't know if you had any thoughts on that.
I mean, I guess the only thought I have is like, well, yeah, duh, right? I mean, it's like somebody trying to start a search engine business in New York City against Google, or, hey, let's have a social network that competes head on with Facebook. It's like, you're free to do whatever the hell you want, but the chance that you're going to win against those guys is pretty low.
Unless you're Homesnap. I mean, you know, Homesnap is going to win. We all know that, right?
I sense a little bit of sarcasm on that part, on your part, Mr. Robertson. So yeah, I mean, it seems like such an obvious observation. I don't know what he's going to do about it. It doesn't sound like, you know, his response is, let me just adjust to the realities on the ground and deal with the fact that there's a company with so much technology and so much money that they can do these things. It sounds almost like they're more interested in, you know, trying to fight it somehow. I don't know. It's the whole syndication thing for me. Over the last 6-7 years, you know, maybe longer, that I've been sort of dealing with it, it seems like that is done. And yet every time I feel like we're done with that, right? I mean, we kind of know the deal, right? Something pops up like this issue, StreetEasy in New York City. And I feel like we got to live through it all over again. I mean, I know we've run really long. So maybe we should go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, real quick, one thing I noticed about that statement is, you know, he just sound, I mean, Compass is supposed to be some sort of revolutionary, disruptive new model or, you know, whatever, right? And he sounds like a regular broker, right? And this is kind of following the same path of Zillow, right? They were supposed to be some sort of, you know, disruptive everything else. And now they're just a vendor, right? I mean, they want things to be status quo. Nothing would be more pleasing to Zillow is if the MLS industry and everything stayed the same, because that's how they make money. So these disruptors out there, I mean, it's almost like they're beaten down, right? Like, you know, you wanted to be that, you're just a broker. No, you wanted to be that, you want MLSs. You don't want them to go.
That's my observation over here. That's all I was trying to say is I think it's pretty notable the CEO of a company that's valued over $1 billion is a tech press darling, right? Basically conceded the fight. Right. That's all. I just think it's notable.
Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, you know, and fact of the matter is, like, you know, maybe this is another thing, but I know I've talked about it on my blog a bunch. So I don't buy into those disruption. I don't buy into the innovation talk out of real estate, because my rule for innovation or disruption is, who the hell do you put out of business? And Compass, when they came out, you know, with this quote new model, it was so innovative. I'm like, who are you putting out of business? And the answer was nobody. They're just, you know, a slightly better mousetrap, you know, to go recruit and retain agents on a different basis. I'm like, all right, well, you're a broker. Good luck to you. Compete. But, you know, they're not putting entire sectors out of business like, say, Uber is, or, you know, actually disruptive companies.
Right.
Look, obviously, we're not going to get to the bottom of the syndication thing. I guess if I have any sort of parting thoughts, is that the brokers in New York City, particularly the larger ones, right? Don't reinvent the wheel, guys. Like, the rest of the country has been through this, hashed it backwards and forwards, and, you know, sort of the fault lines are all pretty well known. You know, reach out to some of the people, reach out to some of the MLSs. I mean, MLS LI is not that far away. You know, New Jersey across the river has been dealing with MLS and these types of things for, you know, for years and years. Hudson Gate, you know, they're just north, like they've been dealing with it. You know, reach out to some of the industry folks and just sort of find out what the issues are going to be, because I guarantee whatever they're going through right now, the rest of us have gone through for the past several years. You know, and maybe reach out to Fish, you know, kind of get his take on it. Because there's nothing new here. Just because New York City, you're special, but you're not that special. You know, the same issues are going to apply here. That's sort of my parting thoughts on this. G Rob, you got any parting thoughts?
I agree with everything you said, Rob, but except for the fact of they should stay out of New Jersey, really. I mean, let's be honest.
Hey, man, you know, as a refugee from New Jersey, I feel like everyone should stay out of New Jersey and get out while you can.
Send us home, Fish.
So I would just say I love the real estate business. I love both sides of it. I think the brokers need to be smart about advertising technology in 2017. And I hope that Zillow and StreetEasy, and I trust that they are, you know, working this out behind the scenes, right? We're just talking about the press that's coming out, but they have professionals working for them that meet with these companies and meet with these brokers and handle these issues. So I kind of just want to trust that they're doing those things, and we'll see where it ends up.
All right. G-Rob?
Well, Fish, tell everybody how they can reach you. How you know, where are you on the web? Are you on Twitter? How do people reach you?
Yep. You can find me on Twitter. I'm Greg O. Fish. It's got a C in there, like German spelling. I write a blog. It's nextinhousing.com. Just during my free time when I'm not working, it's kind of a little passion project that I have out there. So you can check that out. It's nextinhousing.com.
Great blog. I love that. I mean, you're really insightful and a good writer as well. All right, guys. Well, thanks again to Rob and Greg here. We're going to send this off, and I'm going to do a good job, I think, hopefully, of putting a lot of these links that we talked about in the show notes. So as you're listening to this, you can kind of link to the videos and the blog posts that we talked about. But thanks a lot, Rob and Greg.
Thank you, guys.